Thank you very much, Pastor. Let us commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Whatsoever may be our activities in the kingdom, without holiness, it will amount to nothing. Let us pray that the Lord will release His Holy Spirit, holiness, upon our life. The Lord will pour this Spirit of holiness upon us today. Our Father and our Lord, we thank you. We worship you for how you have been blessing us since the beginning of the retreat. Lord, we are grateful unto you for how you have been molding our life to your will, for how you have been restructuring our life, our lifestyle, to meet and to make us fit for your kingdom. Lord, we have come again because you are not tired of us. We pray that you open our eyes of understanding. You will grant us belief in us. You will create in us obedience, prompt obedience, to run after holiness, to pursue holiness, to grab holiness, to possess holiness, in Jesus' name. Bless us, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We thank God for how the Lord has been helping us since the beginning of the program. And it's quite interesting that the Lord Almighty is preparing us for a great service, for great consecration. And the Lord is preparing us for heaven at the same time. We have been opening the pages of the Bible since we started yesterday. And this Bible that we have before us is a book of holiness. We know more about God through the Holy Bible, and we know more about our life through the Holy Bible. Holy Bible exposes our weaknesses. Holy Bible exposes our frailty. Holy Bible exposes our stain, our blemish, our wrinkles. Everything we are hiding, the Holy Bible exposes in our life. And as we look at this Holy Bible, as we talk about Holy God, as we talk about Holy Savior, as we talk about Holy Spirit, as we talk about Holy Heaven, the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. I want to show us some part of the Bible for us to know that from Genesis to Revelation, everything we read is pointing us to something, pointing us to Jesus, is pointing us to holiness, is pointing us to heaven. That is what we experience from Genesis to Revelation. When we read the word of God, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible said there that Israel was holiness unto the Lord. That is number one problem we want to solve today. Those that are holy before the Lord, they've tasted the holiness, but at a point they derailed and they joined the group of mockers, mockers of holiness. They joined the group of people that make caricature of holiness. Those people, the Lord said, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Their holiness was past tense. They are only talking about it, but the experience is gone. They only read about it, but the experience is not active. They only mention it, but the experience is not real upon them again. The Lord told us that Israel was holiness unto the Lord once upon a time. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Maybe you are here tonight. You are just like Israel that was holiness unto the Lord. The Lord is calling you back today. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible said we should yield our members. We should yield our members servant to righteousness unto holiness. Yield. We need to do something. We yield ourselves because we are holiness unto the Lord. We need to make a U-turn and come back to the God of, to the Holy God, and we yield our members, our eyes, our hand, our feet, our words, everything about us. We yield it unto righteousness, unto holiness. In Isaiah chapter 23, verse 18, we are talking about Holy Bible, and you will see holy, 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 holiness in the Holy Bible. The Bible said, "Our merchandise." Our business, where is making money, and our hire shall be holiness unto the Lord. Even our business, where we are doing buying and selling, where we are trading, where we are making money, the Lord said it should be holy. There should not be shady deals. There should not be unrighteousness. There should not be compromise. Even concerning our merchandise, we should make it to be holy unto the Lord. Even our hire, as we employ people, people that work with us, there should be holiness in our relationship with them. There should be holiness in the way we treat with them. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 18. We are still talking about the Holy Bible. And we are looking at holy instances in the Holy Bible. The people of their holiness have possessed it but a little while. The people of holiness. We should leave holiness out, that people will see holiness in us. And as they testified about the apostle, in the act of apostle, that they were Christian. They were Christian. They should be able to testify of us also, that as a group in Helsinki, they are a group of holiness. That's a group in UNSU, they are a group of holiness. That's a group in Tampere, they are a group of holiness. People, the people of holiness. The Lord wants us to be people of holiness. In Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 23, we are still looking at the Holy Bible, and we are looking at holy instances in the Holy Bible. The Lord bless thee. The Lord bless thee. Many people are looking for blessing of the Lord, but holiness will orchestrate the blessing of the Lord. Holiness is a catalyst of the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mantle of holiness. Many people, they have church, they call it mantle of solution. It's a mantle of solution without holiness. But the Lord said, whatsoever mountain that people heap up, it should be mantle of holiness. It should be congregation of holiness. It should be gathering of holiness. And when we move to Obadiah chapter 17, verse 17, in Obadiah chapter 17, verse 17, we are still talking about the Holy Bible, and we are looking at holy instances in the Holy Bible. We will see there upon Mount Zion, upon Deeper Life Bible Church, Finland, upon Mount Zion, that shall be deliverance. But the Lord did not stop at the point of deliverance. People are running after deliverance. I want to be delivered from the enemy, household enemy, close enemy, near enemy. But the Lord did not stop there. And there shall be holiness. There shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. If we are going to possess our possession, we must have holiness. If we are going to be delivered, we must have holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness in season and out of season. In Romans chapter 1 verse 4, we are still talking about holiness. We are talking about the Holy Bible, and we are looking at the instances of holiness in the Holy Bible of God. The Bible says, and declared to be the sons of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness. Some people, they have filthy spirit in them. Some people, they have foul spirit in them. But the spirit the Lord expects from the people of holiness is the spirit of holiness. The Lord wants us to possess the spirit of holiness, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of purity. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 verse 22, and Bible said, if we are possessed with the spirit of holiness, then we need to bear the fruit of holiness. And the word of God told us, and become servant to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. You have your fruit unto holiness. As we are possessed with the spirit of holiness, the Lord wants us to bear the fruit of holiness. In Titus chapter 2, verse 2 to 10, we are still talking about Holy Bible, and we are looking at instances of holiness in the Holy Bible. The Bible challenged the aged men, and the Bible addressed the aged women. The Bible talked to the young men. The Bible talked to Satan there. And all the discussion revolves around holiness. The Bible said that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. They possess the behavior of holiness. They live exemplary life of holiness, not false accusers. not given to much wine, not teacher of good things. Let the Bible say that they should be a teacher of good things, but they should not give themselves to false acquisition, that they may teach the young women. The aged women, they are not teaching the young women to break their home, to defraud their husband, not to give their body to their husband. They are not counseling them to rebel against their husband. They are not counseling them to fight their husband. They are not counseling them to cause confusion in the life of their husband. But they should counsel, and their counsel should revolve around holiness, to love their husband. That should be their counsel. And to love their children, holiness, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I pray that our aged women, they will live to this expectation. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Young people, don't give to pettiness, don't give yourself to impurity, don't give yourself to unrighteousness. Be sober-minded in all things, not one thing, in all things. Show thyself a pattern of good works. Don't do any shady things that will make people to doubt your holiness, that will make people to doubt your salvation. Don't walk in the dark where people cannot see you, where they will be doubting, and they will be doubting what you are doing. We must possess sound speech that cannot be condemned. I pray that the Lord will step us up, and the Lord will take us to this level of holiness in Jesus' name. Exhort servants, workers, employees to be obedient unto their master. Oh, my master is callous, and because of that, I will not be faithful in doing my work. The Lord said, exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters. To be obedient unto their master, not poor learning. When you look at the meaning of poor learning, it means steps. Above that, if you are a student, it means that you should not plagiarize. You should not be somebody that giraffe, somebody that said, I'm just trying to help her, I'm just having compassion on her. You don't compromise your holiness when it comes to examination. You don't cheat. You don't plagiarize. Everything is pure. Holiness must affect us in all ramifications. It affects our driving. It affects our comportment on the wheel. It affects our conversation. It affects our relationship. It affects how we do our work as unto the Lord. It affects our relationship at home. It affects our relationship in the church. It affects everything we lay our hand upon. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. For the Lord that God walketh in the midst of their camp to deliver thee and to give up their enemies before thee. Therefore shall their camp be holy, that they see no unclean thing in thee. When the Lord is moving in your house now, the Lord is moving. If the Lord see any unclean thing, he will turn away. And we don't want God to turn away from us. If we don't want God to turn away from us, we must live a holy life. No vacation for holy living. There's no holiday for holy living. There's no vacation for holy living. Holiness begets love. Holiness begets commitment. Holiness begets cooperation. Holiness becomes conscientiousness. Holiness makes you available and useful. Holiness steer humility. Holiness steer honesty. Holiness steer harmlessness. Holiness steer helpfulness. Holiness steer happiness. Holiness gives us open for heaven. You are not a lion anymore. When you become holy, you are not lion anymore. You become a lamb. I pray that the Lord Almighty will take us to this eye today as we look at this word of God in Jesus' name. Today, by the special grace of God, we are looking at the true experience of holiness. True experience of holiness for life. Personal holiness. For life, not for one day, for life and ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man. That's something we must put on during this retreat. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's something we need to put on. Whenever you dress up in the morning, You want to make sure that you don't put on any dress that will make people to make mockery of you as you are moving around the city. But I want to tell you, when you wake up in the morning and you did not put on any dress on you, and you just leave your house and you are walking in the streets, what will people come you call you? People will call you a mad person, that you are sick in the mental faculty, that something is wrong with you. The same thing with holiness. When you are going out each day, if you don't put on holiness, people will not see you as a reasonable Christian. People will not see you as a consistent, faithful Christian. We must put on holiness. We must put on righteousness. As we put on our dress every day, there's nobody that will live each day nakedly. You must put on something. You must put on holiness. It's a must. We must take care of ourselves. And the Lord wants us to serve Him in holiness and righteousness in all the days of our life. The Lord is expecting a church. The Lord is expecting our family during this Easter retreat. The Lord is expecting our career and our relationship again to ensure we are holy and to deliver us or see uncleanness and turn away from us. You know, I told you that the Lord is walking in the camp. The Lord is walking in our church. The Lord is walking in our home. The Lord is walking in our career. The Lord is walking in our relationship today. The Lord is checking us off. Because so many things we patch together, we always assume that everything is right, and so many times things are not right. The Lord is expecting us today. And if the Lord did not see what He's looking for, and what the Lord is looking for is holiness, if the Lord did not see holiness, He will turn away. I pray that this will not be our experience, this will not be our portion, in Jesus' name. The Lord calls our attention to the will of holiness and show us those who can walk or are not qualified to walk there. The Lord show us the will of holiness. The Lord said, the fool. The fool says in his heart that there's no God. The fool says in his heart that there's no God. The fool cannot walk there. It is only people that can walk in the holy way. It is the desire of God for His children to serve Him without fear, but in holiness and righteousness for life. That is what the Lord expects from us. As we take this challenge today, I pray that the Lord Almighty will step us up in holiness and righteousness. And the holiness of God will affect every aspect of our life. We will look at the first part of our message, the desire for true experience of holiness. The desire for true experience of holiness for personal life. We want to look at our personal life. And we want to look at how holiness affects our personal life. How did holiness affect our personal life? And are we open up from the Holy Book, from the Holy Bible? We are going to look at some character and how they manage to live a holy life in their own time. How they manage to distance themselves from the holiness of life. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to read verse 8. I'm going to read verse 12. I'm going to read verse 14 to 20. And I will read verse 26. I'm going to start from verse 8 now. We want to read Genesis chapter 19, verse 8. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. We are reading about Lot. Lot separated himself from Abraham because the land was not able to take them. And Lot decided to choose Sodom and Gomorrah because Abraham gave him the opportunity, the privilege to choose first. And he chose Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he found himself in Sodom and Gomorrah, he discovered that it's not a godly nation. It's not a holy nation. It's not a righteous nation. It's not a pure nation. And the angel of the Lord visited Lot to alert him of what is about to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. Destruction is looming for Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is their conversation. And the Lord wants to minister to us through this conversation today. I have two daughters which have known no man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. This is the little that Lot knew. When the Sodomites, the people of Gomorrah, when they were pressing on him, They want to commit sodomy with the stranger, with the that our Lot was all sin in his house. And our Lord said they should not do that. Rather, I'm going to give you my daughter. Which lesson are we learning here? Whatsoever may be the corruption of the society that we find ourselves, righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any nation. If we stand by the word of holiness, if we stand by the truth of holiness, our daughter can be preserved in this land. When we have opportunity to see Lord, a lot of questions we need to ask him. We need to ask Lord, how did you manage to keep two of your daughters in a corrupt environment like Sodom and Gomorrah? But he made sure that they were not corrupted. The Bible told us he had two daughters which have not known man. Holiness in the family, holiness in the life of the father, holiness in the life of the daughter, holiness in the life of the son, holiness in the family. The Lord wants us to have holiness. The Lord wants us to have holiness in verse 12. And as Lord said, and the man said unto Lord, hast thou here any beside son-in-law and thy son and thy daughter and whatsoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of this place. It is only holiness that can help us to escape the destruction that is coming upon this world. The Lord, they ask Lord, bring them out of this place. You need to bring your wife out of unrighteousness. You need to bring your husband out of unrighteousness. You need to bring your children out of unrighteousness. And in verse 14, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. Lot went to his son-in-law and he told them about the escape, but they were mocking. They were mocking Lord. When some people listen to the message of holiness today, they mock the word of God. They mock the word of God. They mock the word of holiness. But either they mock it or not, it cannot change the mind of God. Holiness unto the Lord. We will shout it. We will sing it. We will preach it. We will sound it loud and long. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said, Lord, hasten. They hasten, Lord. Lord, you are dragging your feet so much. Many people are dragging their feet on unrighteousness. The Lord is hastening you out today. Before the judgment of God will come upon this world, become holy, become righteous. And the angel of the Lord hasten, Lord. They said, get out of this place. Destruction is come upon this place. Arise, take thy wife and their two daughters. Take them out of this place. Husband, don't be too busy that you don't have fellowship with your wife about holiness. Don't be too busy, wife, that you don't have fellowship with your husband about holiness. Parents, don't be too busy that you don't have fellowship with your children about holiness. See what the angel of the Lord told Lord. Hey, make sure you grab your wife. Make sure you grab your daughter. Hey, sin out. Get out of unrighteousness. And in verse 16, and why he linger? Lord, don't you understand this message? Don't you get it right, Lord? Don't you see the handwriting on the wall that danger is looming without holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord? And why he linger? Men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. They lay hand upon them and they told them, escape for your life. Escape for your life. But let us look at Lot again. He dragged the word of holiness. This is how people drag the word of holiness. This is how people argue about holiness. Lot will not give up again. Lot, you are too lingering. And in verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. I cannot escape to the mountain. In verse 19, he said he cannot escape to the mountain. Will you know more than those people that recommended the mountain to you? And in verse 20, behold now, this city is near to flee unto. And this is what Lord said, let me escape thither. He did not say, let us escape. He did not say, what about your wife, Lord? You said, personal pronoun, let me escape. What about your daughter, Lord? Are you not mindful of them at this point? He said, oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. So, Lord, are you the only one that's supposed to be holy? Are you the only one that's supposed to escape? He was talking about himself. He was talking about himself. And you know what really happened? His wife looked behind him. His wife looked behind him. Brother and sister, hold your wife. Don't let your wife look behind you. In holiness and righteousness, wife, hold your husband. Don't let your husband look behind you. In holiness and righteousness, parents, hold your children. Don't let them look behind you. In holiness and righteousness, we must escape together. We must live holy life together. We must make heaven together. Don't let them slip from you. And in Exodus, we saw the account of Moses there. Personal holiness, personal righteousness. And the Lord told him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, and he said, draw not near either. Draw not near neither. Put up their shoe from off their feet. We want to attain height in our relationship with the Lord. We cannot have fellowship with God with unrighteousness. The Lord told Moses, that sandal, that shoe is dirty, and this is holy ground. Put it off. The Lord is telling us today, all the dirty things in our life, all the dirty things in our home, everything that not glorify the name of the Lord, everything that belongs to the group of unrighteousness, everything that belongs to the group of impurity, the Lord said we should put it off. The Lord said we should put it off. The Lord said we should put it off. Holiness is very serious. You remember the case of Cornelius in Acts of Apostles chapter 10, verse 2 to 8. So many people say, but I'm holy, I pray. But I'm holy, I fasted. But I'm holy, I pay tithes. I'm holy. Holiness is more than that. You are going to see now a devout man. Cornelius is a devotee. He's a religious man. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision. Vision is not holiness. Seeing vision is not holiness. Angel of the Lord described, mentioned the name of Peter to him. Describe the where Peter lived. Describe the streets where Peter lived. Revelation cannot take the place of holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. And after all this description, after all these things, the Lord told him that he should send message to Peter, and Peter will come and tell him what to do. And the Lord is telling you today that for how long will you linger in unrighteousness? The Lord is telling you what you need to do today, that you need to give your life to the Lord, that you need to surrender yourself to the holiness of God. You need to give yourself to the purity of God. This man prayed. This man had vision. The vision is extraordinary. In fact, he saw everything clear, everything pure. The Lord said, we need to live a holy, holy life. We are in a society that is corrupt. And in this end time, unrighteousness is increasing. But the Lord wants us to keep ourselves, husband and wife, personal life of holiness. We should be a lily in the midst of the mire, as we have the daughters of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord wants us to separate ourselves from Sodom and Gomorrah. Though we live in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord wants us to separate ourselves from Sodom and Gomorrah. That is the message of God for us today. The Lord said, those that are mimic and those that are mocking the holiness of the Lord, that they should have a repentance today. They should have a change of mind and run to their Savior. And the Lord Almighty will have mercy upon them in Jesus' name. The Lord is calling us unto holiness, but what is your desire? How more desire do you have for this holiness that we are talking about? Let us open our Bible to the book of Matthew. Turn your book to the book of Matthew chapter 5. The Lord wants us to desire the holiness of God. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 6 and verse 8. Blessed are they which do hunger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As many that are thirsty, as many that are hungry for this holiness, the Lord will feed them with this holiness. And in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Lord wants us to desire it. The Lord wants us to pray for it. The Lord wants us to run after it. The Lord wants us to seek it. The Lord wants us to pray this passages of the scripture all over and all over into our life until they become part of our life. Desire is a strong emotion to express a wish to obtain, ask, or request something precious. The Lord promised to satisfy the desire of every living thing. And all of us here on this call, we are living soul. And in as much we are living soul, God wants us to have experience of personal holiness. The Lord said he's going to satisfy our holy desire. If we have that desire today, he's going to satisfy it. The psalmist desire to awake in the likeness of God each day. What is your own desire? That is the desire of the psalmist. He wants to wake up in the likeness of God. He wants to sleep in the likeness of God. He wants to move around in the likeness of God. What a great desire. And if we also can have this type of desire today, the Lord Almighty will grant it unto us. Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter 17 in verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We need to be like our Creator. We need to be like our Redeemer. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That is the word of the Lord. Because our God is holy, it should be our desire also to be holy. Because our God is pure, it should be our desire also to be pure. Because our God is righteous, it should be our desire also to be righteous. The Lord is calling us into righteousness, into holiness today. That is the calling of God upon our life. The Lord wants us to desire it as the earth panted after the water broke. So the Lord wants us to be panting after righteousness. The Lord wants us to be panting after holiness. The Lord wants us to be panting after purity. Through experience of holiness in your personal life, we make you noticeable. It is holiness that can make you noticeable. It is holiness that can differentiate you from other Christians, so-called Christians. It is holiness that can differentiate you in your working places. It is holiness that can differentiate you in the society. Holiness will make you a better Christian. Holiness will make you a better worker. Holiness will make you a better husband. Holiness will make you a better wife. Holiness will make you better children in the house of your parents. It is holiness. Holiness that makes difference in our life. Holiness that differentiates us in everything we are doing. We don't need announcements before they recognize us as holy people. When people see our disposition, when people see our character, when people see our approach to the things of life, the Lord, they will recognize that this one is holy. And the Lord wants this holiness to cover every aspect of our life. Personal holiness, we have it at home, we have it in the church, we have it in conversation, we have it in relationship, we have it in all ramifications. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let us turn our Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm reading there from verse 3. For this is the will of God. This is the point that all of us must surrender to this will of God. And what is the will of God we are talking about today? We are not talking about marriage as the will of God. We are talking about holiness as the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Only people run from fornication. Only people don't play with fornication. In verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Nobody will do it for you, my brother. Nobody will do it for you, my sister. You must know how to possess your vessel. You must know how to comport yourself. You must know how to have disposition of holiness in your life. In verse 5, not in the loss or conspicuousness, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. After we have given our life to Christ, after we have professed that we are sanctified, and people are seeing questionable things in our life, that did not give glory to the Lord. That did not give honor to the name of the Lord. In verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Holiness will prevent you to defraud your brother in any matter. In any matter, we cannot defraud our brother. We cannot defraud our sister, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That is the calling of God upon our life. The Lord has called us unto holiness. The Lord had not called us unto uncleanness. The Lord has called us unto holiness. Holiness will prevent us from corruption. Holiness will prevent us from imbalanced Christian living. Holiness will prevent us from hypocrisy. Holiness will prevent us from hanky-panky life. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. If we are going to be complete in God, we need holiness in our life. And this experience is personal. We must have it. And we must have testimony of this experience. A climber, a mountain climber, we have experience if he attempt to climb a mountain and he get to the summit. That is the time he have the experience. That is the time he can write about it. That is the time he can talk about it. That is the time he can give testimony about it. Experience, holiness is actionable. It's something that we need to do daily, that will give us a experience, a good experience, a godly experience, a righteous experience. I pray that the Lord Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. We want to look at the second part of our message, the description of true experience, the description of true experience of holiness for ministry. The description of true experience of holiness for ministry. We have looked at personal holiness, how the Lord wants us to be holy. Husband, be holy. Wife, be holy. And now we are looking at calling. The Lord has called us. We have listened to the message earlier about purposeful life. The Lord, the calling of God is upon us. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this calling of God upon our life? We must live our holy life in the calling of the Lord upon our life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 15. But as he which had called you, the Lord has called you, the Lord has called me, is holy, and he that called us is holy already. So ye be holy in all manner of conversation. To the point of our conversation, we must be holy. Holiness must affect every aspect of our life. That some things that we used to say, they are trivial. We cannot treat them as trivial, because the anointing of God is upon our life. The calling of God is upon our life. We cannot take the things of life as trivial. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, for God has not called us unto uncleanness. The calling of God upon us as a pastor, the calling upon us as a worker, the calling upon us as a man of God, as a woman of God, is not unto uncleanness. The calling is unto holiness. The calling is unto holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, the calling of God upon our life is unto holiness. For they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The Lord wants us to be partakers of holiness. The Lord wants us to be part of this experience of holiness in our ministry. Our ministry as man of God, as woman of God, holiness must characterize our disposition. Holiness must characterize our conversation. Holiness must characterize our ministration. Holiness must characterize our ministry. Holiness must characterize everything that we do, in season and out of season. We are going to look at some Bible character that is going to challenge us based on the calling of God upon our life. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, and we are going to look at the case of Elijah here. That was famine. And the Lord sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. But Elijah was there with the widow of Zarephath. This woman has no husband anymore. But Elijah never loses his guard. in relating with this woman. Holiness characterized the relationship of Elijah with this woman from time to time. And we are going to see in the text that we are reading. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. There's been no rain. And the Lord called Elijah, and the Lord told him, Elijah, I'm telling you now, I prepared a widow for you, and you need to go to Zarephath now. The widow is there. I read from verse 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. When Elijah came to this woman, he prophesied that he should make a meal for him, that the meal of his the barrel of his meal shall not waste, and the cruse of his oil shall not fail. And that came to pass. But there's a relationship between them. From time to time, Elijah did not stay there for one day, but man of God, holiness characterized his relationship with this woman. Eventually, the son of this woman died in verse 19. And he said unto her, give me that son. And he took him out of her bosom. We follow the story, and you will see the characteristics of holiness in their relationship. And carry him up into a loft. Up, loft is like elevation. It's like a story building. He take the child. He was not staying together in the same room with the widow of Zarephath. There was a room prepared for him. And he took up him into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. Bible put it, to prevent any confusion, the Bible put the word there, own bed. The man of God has his own bed. The man of God is not sharing bread with another man's wife. Man of God has his own bed. That is holiness in ministry. That is holiness unto the Lord. Elijah did not say, this woman is a widow woman. This woman is feeling lonely. This woman is dying. Let me be staying together with her on the same bed. Maybe it's going to be a comfort to her. That is not Elijah. Holiness characterized his relationship with this woman. And in verse 20, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let the child or the soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber. You see that? Elijah took the child and brought the child down, brought the child down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Man of God, the anointing of God is upon you. The grace of God is upon you. Don't abuse that anointing. Holiness unto the Lord in your ministry. Holiness unto the Lord in your ministration. Holiness unto the Lord in your caring. Holiness unto the Lord in your prayer. Holiness unto the Lord in relationship with people, both in the kingdom and outside the kingdom. Holiness unto the Lord. In 2 Kings, we are going to see the case of Elisha there. Holiness unto the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4. We are going to look at from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is only man of God, which passed by continually. Look at this woman. You can see holiness. There was no shady deal. She told the husband, took permission from the husband, that can we create a room from the only man of God. He took permission from the house. Why? You are still keeping secret from your husband. You are not holy. People may call you anything. You are not yet holy. Husband, you are still hiding from your wife. You did not open up to your wife. And the Lord said that he that created them from the beginning, create them male and female. The Lord said they were there, they were naked, and they were not ashamed. But you are still keeping a lot of information. a lot of information, a lot of investment, a lot of money, a lot of situation, a lot of circumstances. You are still keeping information from your wife. Not this man. Holiness will affect your conversation. Holiness is not secretive. Holiness is open. And he said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. Holy man of God. Holy man of God. In our own generation, is a generation of scandal. There are a lot of scandal for so-called men of God. But this is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. And the woman recognized Elisha as holy man of God because Elisha walked worthy of holiness. And in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn it thither. And they created a room for Elisha. And Elisha was there. Elisha was there. And something happened also, that Elisha said, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, that he should call this woman. He should call this woman, man of God, during cancellation, then during canceling, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord during canceling. This man of God want to talk to this woman that was an intermediary, that is Gehazi, that is always with Elisha. Elisha did not say, I parted with a Jordan, I have anointing, I don't care, woman cannot make me to fall, a situation of life cannot make me to fall. Elisha, he was a man like us. He was not boastful of all those things. He always moved around with Gehazi. He moved around and he called Gehazi to stand before, to call the woman. And when the woman came, the woman stood before him. In fact, 12, he stood before him and he asked him, what can we do for you? You have been caring for us. He said, I need a child. Eventually, the baby also died. And when Elisha has gone for ministration, he has gone to the mount. That is the only time that this woman entered the room of Elisha and put the baby there. Elisha was not around at that time. Holiness unto the Lord. As we are moving around, as we are serving the Lord, as we are doing the will of God, we must allow holiness to characterize all our relationship with people that we meet from day to day. We care for them. We love them so much. And we must create gap for holiness. We must allow holiness to take preeminence of our ministry. Holiness unto the Lord in our ministry. Holiness unto the Lord, unto the opposite sex. Holiness unto the Lord, unto the people outside the kingdom. Holiness unto the Lord, unto the people in the kingdom. Holiness unto the Lord, to the people within and without. The Lord wants us to be holy, to be righteous, or in season and out of season. Another Bible character, you remember the case of Ruth? When Ruth left Moab and he came to Bethlehem, Judah, and you know what really happened? And he went to go and glean, to go and walk in the field. That field happened to be the field of Boaz. And Boaz said, I've instructed men not to touch you in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, verse 4 to 9. I've instructed men not to touch you. And not only that, he told her that he should take whatsoever she need and she should go away with that. He did not take advantage of her Ruth. Holiness characterized his relationship with Ruth. You remember the night that Boaz was merry, he had drunk, and he was merry and he slept. And the Naomi instructed Ruth to go and sleep behind Boaz. And if it is this generation, there will be scandal. When the man awake and saw a woman beside him, he was afraid. And he said, okay, stay till the day break. But stay till the day break, there was righteousness between them. Nothing defiling, nothing impure, nothing unrighteous. In the Ruth chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And he said, you can throw your skirt over me. He said, that is not a problem, but I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to do the right thing. By tomorrow, I will raise the issue and we will take the right step. Youth, the Bachelor and Spencer, you can see holiness as you are praying and waiting on God for the will of God. Don't help God in marriage. Let God help you in marriage. You don't have what it takes to help God, and nobody can help God. Let God help you in marriage. Let God guide you. Don't say, I'm aging now, I'm growing old. He said I should come and visit him. I don't mind, I will go and visit him. He's a brother too. Nothing will happen. All of us, we belong to Holiness Church. We are attending the same church. I can go there. Look, learn from Boaz and Ruth. They were so close. They slept side by side, but nothing defiling. They waited for the appointed time, nothing defiling between them. They waited for the right time in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and we are reading verse 18 there. And to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives, and their sons, and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office, they sanctify themselves in holiness. In the office the Lord has called you to, sanctify yourself in holiness. In the ministry the Lord has called you to, sanctify yourself in holiness. Don't be too sure of the anointing of God upon your life, that you will be playing with another man's wife. You will be touching another man's wife anyhow. Let that be gap of holiness. I'm not sure you have the anointing of Elisha. I'm not sure you have the anointing of Elijah. I'm not sure that you have the anointing. Nevertheless, they were careful. They were very careful. Sanctify the Lord. Sanctify yourself in your set office. The office the Lord has called you to, sanctify yourself in that office. Don't make mockery of the grace of God upon your life. Don't abuse the grace of God upon your life. Rather, use the grace of God to the glory of his holy name. Rather, appreciate the grace of God. In Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to 5, we saw the case of Paul the apostle here. Paul the apostle walked with women, but he gave gap of holiness in his relationship with women. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which are at Kenkra, that you receive her in the Lord, he has become a saint, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For he had been a succor of many, and myself also. Phoebe was a succorer, but she gave gap of holiness. She did not pull the men of God down. Phoebe, she's a succorer. In fact, Apostle Paul gave the testimony that as she's taking care of people, she ministered to me also. But there is gap of holiness. There is gap of righteousness in their relationship. Women, don't pull down men of God. Men, don't pull down women of God. Brethren, don't pull down one another. Let us give gap of holiness in our relationship. Apostle Paul relates with Aquila and Priscilla, a family. They were so close to him. But there's a gap of holiness. I pray that the Lord will help us to step up today in holiness in the ministry that the Lord has committed to our care in Jesus' name. The Lord said, sanctify. Sanctify yourself in your set office. That's where the Lord has planted you. That's where the Lord has put you. Sanctify yourself there. The Lord wants the called men and women of God to be holy in all manner of life. The Lord wants us to be holy. The Lord wants us to love one another. The Lord wants us to care for one another. But nevertheless, the Lord wants us to be holy. Elijah shows an example of holiness in his relationship with the widow of Zarephath. Elijah shows an example of holiness in his relationship with Shunammite woman and her family. Boaz and Ruth, they maintained their purity and patiently waited for the appointed time. They were not rushing ahead of God. God wants his minister to sanctify themselves in holiness in their set office. As you know that the hand of God is upon you, as you know that the anointing of God is upon you, as you know that the grace of God is upon you, allow holiness to take preeminence of your ministry. Allow holiness to take preeminence of your relationship. with other people within the kingdom and outside the kingdom. And as we do so, the Lord will preserve us and he will keep us to the end in Jesus' name. We want to look at the last part of our message, the determination. Determination for true experience of holiness for heaven. Determination. We need to determine. We need to make up our mind. We need to determine that we are going to live this life of holiness. That we are not going to compromise this life of holiness. We need to determine that holiness will be unto the Lord. Everything in our house will be holiness unto the Lord. Everything we wear will be holiness unto the Lord. Everything we say will be holiness unto the Lord. Everything we do will be holiness unto the Lord. Everywhere we go will be holiness unto the Lord. Everything we touch will be holiness unto the Lord. Holiness within us, holiness without us. Holiness in our words, holiness in our conversation, holiness in our relationship, holiness in our help, holiness in our caring, holiness in our effort, holiness in our labor, everything we are doing in the ministry, holiness we characterize in Jesus' name. If this will be possible, we need to be fully determined. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I read verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. This is part of our determination. Determination to flee youthful lusts. Our youthful lusts want to play back. Even when we are growing old, we need to flee from our youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Our calling the Lord to come out of a pure heart, we need to determine to flee from every loss. We are in the generation of loss. Loss is everywhere. People don't understand the meaning of love anymore. They are mistaking love for loss. The Lord said the loss in the society flee. Even if you notice any loss in the church, flee. Don't wait for loss to take over you. Don't wait for loss to catch it on you. Wait. Escape from all kind of loss. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that is you are able, but with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I love Joseph. Joseph understand this scripture I just read to you now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. Joseph understand that in every temptation, there's always a way of escape. Joseph understand this scripture, he internalized this scripture, and he key into this scripture. And when the wife of Potiphar said, by force, you must lie with me today. And Joseph remembered that God always make a way of escape. The only man, and he escaped for his life. He removed his dress. He run for his dear life. Brethren, we must escape for our life. The Lord has assured us that whatsoever may be the temptation, there's always a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. And when we remember the way of escape and we follow the way of escape, we will live a righteous life unto the Lord, and we shall not be polluted in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. We are the one that will do this. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. All filthiness of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The Lord wants us to perfect holiness. Our holiness will be perfected in the sight of the Lord. The Lord wants us to perfect holiness in his sight. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I read verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we are going to follow holy life, if we are going to be called holy people, if we are going to stick to this holy Bible, if we are going to cleave to the Holy God, Holy Savior, Holy Spirit. We need to do this. We need to crucify our flesh. Everything that is called lust, everything that is called flesh, we need to crucify it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let us turn our Bible to the first book, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 18 there. Flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. You cannot say you are holy, holy brother, and you are walking in the fire of fornication. You are walking in the midst of fornicators, and you say you are holy brother. What kind of holiness is that? We have not seen that type of holiness in the Bible. Then you need to flee from fornication. You need to flee from fornicators. You need to flee from fornication environment, fornication arena. You need to pick grace. You need to flee away from there. In our daily life situation and ministry, we need a resolute heart, determined heart for holiness that will qualify us for heaven. Joseph was determined to escape all kind of temptation. The Lord urged us all to cleanse ourselves from all feebleness of the flesh and spirit, and crucify the flesh with affection and lust. We must disconnect from the world. Brethren, this is the best time to disconnect from the world. If you want to cleave unto the world, you cannot be holy. If you are going to be holy, you must disconnect from the world. Flee fornication and obey God's word to live a holy life. This is the Holy Bible. We have gone through a lot of holy instances in the Holy Bible. At the beginning of this message, you need to obey God's word, this Holy Bible, to live a holy life, and any other thing that want to jeopardize your journey to heaven. We need to arise. We need to arise and do the needful to be fit for heaven. And as we arise today, the Lord will pour holiness and righteousness upon us. And we will never go low. We never sink into mire of unrighteousness again in our life, in Jesus' name. I read this revival story and it touched me. It touched me a lot. Just after the turn of 20th century, God poured out his spirit and started a revival on Azusa Street in California. The same America that has turned to something else today. That was a great revival in America. We are now in 24th century. This just happened in 20th century. Only one century in between. When are we going to turn unto the Lord in holiness for the Lord to revive us again? It was an awesome time. A time when people's entire lives were turned inside out. It was an unprecedented visitation of God upon their life. Everything else in their world seemed to lose importance. All the mundane things of the world lose importance. All the worldliness in art and conduct, it lose importance. Supernatural things were happening, and God was manifesting himself in their midst. The people involved in the Azusa Street Revival soon began to be known to the world as holiness people. They don't announce themselves, but the life they live announced them. People, when they saw what happened in Azusa Street in California, America, they called them that these people, they are special people. They are holiness people. They got that title because they were so obviously different from everyone else. If you are not different from unbeliever in your office, you are not different from so-called believer. You are not different from the people that are running after worldliness in art and conduct. Your holiness is not perfect. Few believers today even know what holiness means. Many people don't understand what holiness is. Even fewer understand the outpouring of God that come to those who dare to step into it. This was the time of William Joseph Seymour. It was a son of a free slave. A son of a sweet slave, the Lord poured his spirit upon him. He championed the revival, and the revival broke out. We have been listening to messages about revival for the past for the past how many years now? This is our own time of revival. And if we are going to see that revival, we must turn to the Lord in holiness and righteousness. You have listened to the word of the Lord today, and it is time to go to the Lord in prayer. As I want to share with you this short story, they call it a pig in a parlor. You know a pig? A Christian military officer who visited the bedside of a dying soldier under his command said to him, "I am going to ask you a strange question. Suppose you could carry your sin with you to heaven, will you that satisfy you?" The superior officer in army was asking the less superior that was in the dying bed that if you are allowed to take your sin to heaven, will you be satisfied with that? And this is the response of the soldier. The soldier said, the poor dying lad replied, "Why, sir, what kind of heaven would that be to me? I will be just be a pig in a parlor." He said that if it is possible to take sin to heaven, then it's going to be like a pig in the parlor. He was awakened to a sense of his lost state. The officer concluded, the soldier was panting after a heaven of holiness and was convinced if he died in his sin, he would be quite out of his element in such a place of purity. This was written by unknown author. Brethren, are you like the pig in the parlor? You have been listening to the messages of salvation, listening to the messages of holiness, but you do nothing about it. All what you do is just to mock the message of holiness. It's just to make to mock the word of holiness. Today, you need a change of heart. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. You cannot take your sin to heaven. Unrighteousness cannot take you to heaven. The soldier said, you will be like a pig in the parlor. You will be like a pig in the parlor. And you cannot take your sin to heaven. Heaven is holy. It is the abode of God. The abode of God is holy. God is holy. His throne is holy. Angels, they are holy. Everything that surrounds him is holy. He has Holy Son. He has Holy Spirit. Everything about God is holy. You cannot see only God without holiness. You cannot be with only God without holiness. You cannot stand before only God without holiness. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. It is time to pray. It is time to call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today is the day of holiness. Brethren, let us forget about unrighteousness. It cannot pay us. We will just be like a pig in the parlor. It cannot take us to heaven. Sin cannot enter there. Sin cannot enter there. Sin cannot enter there. Unrighteousness cannot enter there. Husband, is your wife looking behind you already? Why is your husband looking behind you already? Because you did not take her up in holiness. Because you did not take him up in holiness. Are your children looking behind you already? It is time to pray. The Lord must rain holiness upon us today. The Lord must rain righteousness upon us. Please, Pastor, you can take it up.
Let us continue to pray. If there is one Christian experience that matters so much, it is the Christian experience of holiness, because the Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord. All our titles will amount to nothing. All our attendance to fellowship and everything that we give to the work of God, the time we are spending here, all the things we are doing, if at the gate of heaven you are found wanting in the area of holiness, then it means you have lost it all. Because the Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord. You are going to commit yourself into the hands of God now and say, Lord, search me. Everything in your life, every aspect of your life, as the pastor has preached, I remember the last Bible study we had. The Lord, our pastor, did mention and talk about the Spirit of God indwelling us. When the Spirit of God indwells you, holiness becomes easy. You are going to ask God and say, Lord, let your Spirit indwell me. And every aspect of your life that does not depict holiness, every aspect of your life that does not glorify God in that regard, you are going to commit that into the hands of God. A lot of people in the world today, you know, personal ego, personal classification of who you think you are. And because of that, you are always confrontational when it comes to certain issues. That is not what it is to be holy. You are going to pray in every aspect of your life. The way you relate at home with people, children, wife, husband, everybody. The way you relate to people in your place of work, even on the road, you are going to pray and say, Lord, I come before you once again. Lord, do the operation. All the meeting we are having today, this is the summary of it all. The Lord wants to cleanse you. The Lord wants to purge you. Like we have seen during the study, we have been told, number one, that there must be a desire. Do you have that desire that nothing else will take you back? Don't say because the meeting is online. As you are there in your house, you have other things distracting you. Do you have that desire? Because the Bible made it clear, you must have that desire. You must desire in your heart. Cornelius, as we saw during the message, you know, he had done every other thing that all of us are doing. He was a man given to alms. He was a man taking care of the needy. He respected people. He took care of those around him. He was religious in context in terms of his activities. But you still see that the Lord sent for Peter. And Peter came and prayed for him. You are going to pray. And like we were told in the message we listened to in the morning, we were told that when Paul was met on his way, that the Lord told him, I'm going to, you know, I have created you for a purpose. I have this assignment, the ministry. We cannot be fruitful in ministry if our life is not holy. Everything that we put in will amount to nothing. No wonder Jesus said on that day, they will come to me and they say, we have performed miracle. They will come to me and they say, in that day, we were workers in the church. We fasted for days. We carried all the load that the church wanted us to carry. We contributed our money. We were able to stay off every other activity and attended retreat. And the Lord will say, I do not know you because there is no holiness. Therefore, it means that if we are going to meet the Lord, if we are going to receive the blessing of the Lord, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Open your mouth and pray and say, Lord, search me within. And say, Lord, create in me that inner purity. Purge me, oh Lord. A lot of people have said it doesn't matter these days in the type of religion we practice today. You see that as a brother, your closest companion, there's nothing wrong in being close to the sisters. But when it becomes so close, like Pastor have told us, it becomes so much so that even the outsiders will begin to suspect. It becomes so much close that even you within yourself, you do not feel secured anymore. Something is wrong. Why not open your mouth? Remember, Jesus said, he don't necessarily need to go into the heart, but lusting after her in the heart, then you have gone into it already. Why not open your mouth and begin to tell the Lord? And say, God, help me. And say, God, help me. Cleanse me, Lord. Deliver me. Oh, Lord, it is good now that the trumpet has not sound. We are just hearing the message and there is still time. You can tell the Lord like we saw in the case of Elisha. Elisha was a man full of God's spirit. Elijah the same. But you could see, as Pastor told us, in their relationship with those that they were serving, they kept it clean. They kept it clean. Let's open our mouth and pray. If your own type of holiness is to be described, is it devoid of insult? Sometimes I say it and I continue to say it. As a woman, you look at your husband, you call him names. You look at your husband in your house, you give him all kinds of description, and you forgot the fact that the person you claim to be serving has said he is the head of the family, and disrespecting him means disrespecting God. As a man, you turn around. You are supposed, the Bible says, love your wife like yourself. As Christ loved the church, do you fulfill that condition? Or is your holiness devoid of those characteristics? Like Pastor have just told us now, you are going to pray and say, Lord, in my home. And say, Lord, in my house. I do not want to be like Lot, who was running and left his wife behind. And left his family behind. No wonder the wife was not following him, because there was no existing relationship. Open your mouth in that regard to work together and be on the same page. You are going to pray and say, Lord, purify me. Purify my heart. Those things, you know it, that always bring conflict. Those things, you know it, that always cause division and cause fight. And sometimes it denies you even the opportunity to pray. It can cost you even at last. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, here am I. What is that excuse you are giving? Apostle Paul said, eat my eating meat. That is the level of holiness the Lord expects of us. If my eating meat will cause my brother to stumble. You cannot be holy when your attitude and your actions. Some of us will say, well, the way I look, the way I appear, the way I do my things, I don't care. Whoever is affected, that is his problem. If my eating meat will cause my brother to stumble, he said, I would rather not do it because I want to save that soul. You cannot be sending the soul that Christ came to die for. Think about it as a sister. It doesn't matter, pastor, leave me. Whatever I want to wear, I can wear. That is not holiness. Imagine the soul for which Christ died, that soul is in the church, and instead of focusing on the message, is struggling to contend with what we are putting on. That shows that you have not reached that level of holiness. You are going to open your mouth because the Bible said that we are the scripture, we are the Bible. Like our pastor told us this morning during the morning message, that our message to sinners is not only with our words. Our actions are message to them. The things we do, the places we go, the things we do, that is the level of holiness the Lord expects of us. Why not open your mouth? Apostle Paul, after he has finished everything, he said, I've finished the course. He was so sure. His conscience was clear. Is there, what are those things in your life? You know that sometimes even as a believer, when holiness is mentioned like this, the first thing the devil does is to accuse you in that area. Why not open your mouth, open yourself up and say, Lord, purge me. Give me the courage, give me the grace. There is nothing on this earth. Like Pastor have just told us and that soldier said, well, what kind of heaven would it be? There is nothing on this earth that is qualified to deny you of the pleasures that God has for you in heaven. There is nothing compared to the grace, the provisions the Lord has made for you and I. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, help me? Why not open your mouth and say, help me? Tell the Lord to give you the determination to have the true experience of holiness. The determination that when you see sin, you know, I read a particular part of the scripture this morning, and you know, I look at it, and the passage I'm talking about is in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 14, that place was so striking. You know exactly what he said? He said that only fools make jest of sin. These days in which we live, you say you are practicing holiness and you see people on the internet everywhere. They will even bring church. Some of us are in that habit. You want to make jest of what happened in the church, how that pastor was preaching, how this person, it is only fools, according to the scripture, that see a sinful habit and they make jest of it. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, deliver me and give me the grace to live that holiness that is transparent for everyone to see. That holiness that, you know, sometimes people will say, well, it doesn't matter. God sees my heart. No, the Bible says, by their fruit we shall know them. You know, holiness we're talking about here is holiness within, holiness without, holiness that cannot be faulted. Look at what God said about Job. He said, have you seen my servant Job? You know, the devil understands everything about Job. And God said, have you seen my servant Job? He's an honest man. Have you seen my servant Job? He's a man without wrinkle. That's the kind of holiness we're talking about here, that even God can testify, that even God, it will not be like the seven churches of Asia Minor, that God would say positive things about them, yet he would say, yet I have this thing against you. In the case of Job, there was no yet. There was no but. Open your mouth and say, Lord, cleanse me that there will be no but. Make me ready. Give me the grace of God. Touch me, Lord, that there will be no but. If you do not get anything out of this retreat, remember that without holiness, no man shall see God. Without this holiness we are talking about, every other thing we are talking about will amount to nothing. It is hinged on this condition. Without holiness, no man shall see God. You cannot see God with that sin. Yes, you can say, but this is the only weakness I have. You cannot see God with it. Open your mouth and say, Lord, help me. Open your mouth and say, Lord, strengthen me. You need that determination to push through, that determination to continue, that determination that, you know, look at the time Elijah was to be taken away. Elisha was mocked. He was not bothered. He didn't do anything. He was focused on ensuring that that when Elijah will go, he will see him. Because he has been told, Elijah have told him, if you see me when I go, if you see me when I go, he said, you will receive a blessing. If you see me when I go, this is what I shall do unto you. Ask what I shall do unto you. And the same way, Elisha was focused. That's the kind of focus that we need to have this type of holiness we're talking about. There were distractions, the sons of the prophet, the people insulted him. What are those distractions in your life? Is it your job that is constituting the distraction? Is it the cost of the money you have? Is it your academic qualification that is constituting a distraction? Elisha did not allow any of those. He was focused on making sure. Elijah said, wait here for me. He said, never, I will not wait. I am determined. I'm single-minded. Open your mouth and say, Lord, make me a single-minded believer in the practice and in area of holiness. That like Elisha did, until I get there, until I've made it to the end, I am not going to stop halfway. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Let's begin to worship God because he has answered. Father in heaven, we thank and bless you because of this message this evening. Lord, we thank you because you have reminded us once again that you have a purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Father in heaven, as we have heard during the message, we're asking and praying that for each and every one of us here, all the encumbrances and all the things that in the past have made it difficult for us to fulfill this condition of true holiness, we're asking that as we have heard your message, by strength shall no man prevail. Lord, we ask for the grace to be able to attain this level of holiness you will grant unto us in Jesus' name. Whatever it is in the past, that sin, that particular thing that the enemy has used in the life of any of us to hinder us from being the what you want us to be, oh Lord, we pray from this time henceforth, it shall no longer be our portion in Jesus' name. Lord, as you have taught us this evening, we pray that God, as a church, you would help us to make progress. You would help us to be what you want us to be. You will cleanse us within and without. You will give us power to go from here and live according to your will in Jesus' name. As for our pastor whom you have used, oh God, this evening, all the virtue that have gone out, oh Lord, we pray you replenish him. As we continue in the program, continue with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.